Are you a beer lover? Well, you're not alone. And if your favorite pilsners or ales are locally brewed, you're part of a wave that's helped the craft beer industry grow by an average of almost 11% a year for the past decade. According to the Brewers Association, a trade group that tracks and lobbies for independent beer, 1.5 new breweries open every day in the U.S., helping grow an industry that's now valued at nearly $20 billion. Patrick Emerson is a professor of economics at Oregon State University. He also writes a blog called Beeronomics, and he joins us to talk about the economics of craft beer. Professor Emerson, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be here.
So one of the things I found interesting is that historically there's been a very cooperative nature amongst craft beer brewers, that has helped the industry grow. And I'm thinking the Boston Beer Company, for example, helped some upstart breweries get loans and get access to wholesale ingredients like hops. Other craft brewers like Allagash, Dogfish Head, and Cigar City have collaborated on beers. First of all, why would competitors be so nice to each other?
Well, it's interesting. In one sense, it's sort of a rising tide raises all boats. You know, craft beer markets expanded so rapidly. And that's a large part due to the fact that people are learning about craft beer, deciding that they like it as a good alternative to macro brews. And the demand for craft beer just keeps growing and growing, and that's part and parcel of having more beers out there, more people trying the beer. So in a sense, they're sort of not only helping their competitors, but they're also helping grow the market overall. So for right now, at least, I think there's still very much a collaborative spirit.
Well, that's what that right now that you mentioned, I think, is the critical side of this. You know, some worry that this kind of love fest is creating a beer bubble, that with such rapid growth in the industry that there's going to be a point where there's too much competition, too many beers to choose from, and that the industry is going to be oversaturated. Is that a legitimate concern, do you think?
I think it's a legitimate concern, but I really don't think that that's the dynamic that we're going to see at least for another 10 years or so. I think that the demand for craft beer is growing so rapidly still that there's a lot of room for new brewers, especially in markets that aren't overly saturated already. Vermont's starting to get fairly saturated. Oregon certainly has many breweries as well out here. And there's still a growing demand. There's still room for new brewers. But I think over time what we're going to find is not necessarily a bubble, but a maturation of the market where there's going to be some sort of sifting and winnowing that's going to create some closures in the craft beer industry, largely due to just sort of good old-fashioned competition. The better beers will win out. There is one other dynamic, though, that's sort of crucial in brewing, and that's the fact that scale is really important factor in keeping costs down. So there's a lot of pressure on craft brewers to grow bigger and bigger, which is sort of a catch-22. In some senses, that causes them to lose their identity as a small artisanal brewery. On the other hand, however, it allows them to compete much more aggressively on price.
Well, and it's interesting too. You mentioned that they've got to make their beer to scale to be efficient. But you know, as a beer lover myself, I love to go into a pub and say, oh, let me try something new. And I think there's a big impetus among these craft brewers to always come up with the next best thing. So how do they also make a lot of product A but still come out with product B, C, and D at the same time?
Yeah, sort of the million-dollar question in craft brewing. It's always especially for the more mature craft brewers, it's always a dynamic that's difficult to manage. So they want to maintain their reputation as sort of innovative and interesting and kind of a cool brewery. At the same time, a lot of their revenues depend on often one or two or three sort of flagship beers that people know and people keep coming back to and they sell a lot of. So it's a dynamic where often you'll see lots of sort of specialty one-off beers that'll appear for a short time and go away, and that's partly probably due to just keeping the brewers interested. That's what they like to do. At the same time, they still have to brew that beer that they sell so much of. So it's a constant struggle to try to maintain the sort of novelty of new beers and the buzz around your brand, but at the same time, make sure that you're sort of selling enough beer in quantity.
We've seen where the big breweries, the Miller Coors and Anheuser-Busch's, have come in and either bought up smaller competition or just spent big on advertising to outmaneuver some of the smaller brewers. Do you expect to see more battles between the big and large or the big and small, or do you think that the heated competition to come is going to be between the smaller breweries themselves?
Yeah, it's a sort of interesting dynamic. I mean, what Anheuser-Busch has decided to do, it seems, is to buy up smaller breweries, but allow them to sort of remain independent in terms of their internal operations, but be part of or have access to the Anheuser-Busch distribution network, which is a pretty significant advantage. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic works out. I still think that's a very sort of currently a small portion of the overall craft beer market. And so I think still a lot of the dynamics we're going to see is among independent craft brewers. There'll always be a place for your sort of local brew pub model. I think that's a very local business model that relies a lot on sort of being a restaurant and being a destination place. But in terms of the packaging brewers, the brewers that are looking to sell a lot of beer in grocery stores and on tap, I think that that's going to be where the drive for scale is going to come in, where the benefits to being sort of part of the Anheuser-Busch network or along another big macro brewer network will be important. But I don't think that the efforts of the macro brewers to create in-house microbrews and advertise them to death has really been successful at all. And so I think that's what you're seeing now, that Anheuser-Busch, for example, is buying up breweries like Goose Island in Chicago, and 10 Barrel Brewing out here was a small brewery that they bought as well.
Right. And very briefly, I just wanted to ask you, in about 30 seconds that we have left, how does hard cider figure into this? We're seeing a lot of hard cider gaining popularity in Vermont and elsewhere. Is that going to continue to take a bite out of the microbrews?
Well, that's interesting. I think that's another instance where the demand really hasn't grown yet, and there's a lot of growth for demand for cider that I expect to see before it even starts sort of chipping away at the demand for craft beer.
Well, Patrick Emerson, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Patrick Emerson is a professor of economics at Oregon State University. He's also a blogger whose blog, Beeronomics, examines the economics of the craft beer industry.